How are you guys this morning? Wow, it seems like there's a lot of you this morning. We are on week 7, if I'm not mistaken, of the Fire Starter series. And we're talking about becoming a disciple maker. So just to look back at what we've done, we've been looking at this acronym SALT. S stands for start a conversation. A stands for ask questions. Listen to their story. And then T, tell your story and tell God's story. All right, we all remember that. All right, today it's tell God's story part 2. Okay, we're going to just view this clip and yeah, continue from there.
So just rap?
Yeah.
All right. I can't offer you nothing, but your care and kindness keeps coming. And your love is so unconditional, I get butterflies in my stomach. I got the old me in the rear view, got a new me, got a clear view. I was so dead, I couldn't hear you, too deep to sin to come near you. But you drew me in, clean me up, take me home, beam me up. Before you do, just let me tell the truth and let these folks know that I done seen your love and it's everlasting, infinite. It goes on and on, you can't measure it, you can't quench his love, you can't separate us from the love of God, there's no estimate. My faith looked the same. My frame ain't rearranged, but I'm changed. I promise I ain't the same. Your love so deep, you suffered and took pain. Died on a cross to give us a new name. Nothing like I seen before. I got a beam and glow. I was low down and dirty, but you cleaned me, Lord. You adopted me. You keep rocking me. I'ma tell the world and ain't nobody stopping me.
Wow. That's amazing. So he's telling God's story his way. And now... Oh. What's happening? Yeah. So how do I do it? How do I tell God's story? How am I going to do all of this? You know, some people may say, but God's story may be a bit too much. But do you remember what we said last week about God's bridge? The cross is God's bridge to eternal life. So we're going to give you some paper. We're going to give you some paper and we're going to look at this verse in Romans chapter 23. We're just going to look at chapter 6, verse 23. We're going to look at it. Can I have volunteers just to hand out these papers and pens? And Romans 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're not sure of what I'm asking you to do, please look at what Simone is doing and do exactly what she does. So she has the privilege of having the bigger page. So just write that verse, that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll just give you a few minutes to do that. Okay, now the next thing that I'm going to ask you to do, on the left, please write the word man, and on the right, please write God. On the left of your page, man. On the right, God. Please make sure that there's like enough space between the two. The verse said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The first important word there is wages. So I want you guys to make a block around wages and write wages underneath man. Remember, man is your main theme. And then wages is like a sub-theme. Now, what are wages? I mean, we all know what wages are, right? I mean, your parents go to work and they get wages at the end of the month. They get paid for the work done. So wages is you getting what you've worked for, all right? So how would you feel if your parents was... Most of us here are not working, right? Except for Refilwe. Who else is working except for Refilwe? No one, so I'm right to say parents. So if your parents don't get their wages or what they have worked for at the end of the month, how would you feel? I mean, that will cripple the economy of your home, right? Your parents may not be able to buy food. You know, a whole lot can go wrong. So wages is something that you have worked for. Someone's going to pay you for the job done. And now the next important word there is sin. May you please do the same thing with sin. Put a box around it and write it under wages. Okay, What is sin? Firstly, my definition of sin is something that God doesn't like. Anything that God doesn't like is sin. So sin is what God doesn't like. If God doesn't like it, it's sin. Right. If God doesn't like lies, then if you lie, it's sin. Right. So how must a person live to get to heaven? Just think about it for a second. How must a person live to get to heaven? And I'm thinking, you need to be good. I need to do everything right. Shouldn't lie, even if it's a white lie, because God hates lies. So I must be perfect. Have you lived like that? The things that you've thought about, have you lived like that? Most of us haven't. Has God ever felt far away from you? God has certainly felt far away from me. In my office, I have this quote that says, if God seems far away, guess who moved? If God seems far away, guess who moved? Most of the time, it's us running away from God. Actually, all the time, it's us running away from God, but God doesn't move away from us. He says he's constant. He is yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. It doesn't change. So if you left God on this stage, tomorrow that's where you'll find him. So God doesn't change. Can you please put those cliffs around wages, sin, and on the other side, on God? Last week we looked at sin, and we said sin separated men from God. Sin separates men from God. So we move away from God by sinning. All right. Now, I mean, if your friend has agreed to look after your most precious possession, like your phone and stuff like that, and broke it, how would you feel? How would you react? Yeah, you know, you'll get very angry. You'll be very furious. If some of us don't care about our phones that much, but if you've entrusted your most precious possession to your friend and they didn't treat it like you would, how would you feel? I'll probably be out there for blood. And that causes a separation. It taints your relationship with your friend. Right? Something, your relationship with your friend is not going to be the same. That's how sin works. God gave us this life, and if we don't treat it right, the way he wants us to, and we sin, it separates us from God. Our relationship with God is not the same. That's why you feel like God is far away. But actually, it's me who moved away from God. So in a similar way that your relationship will be different with your friend after that, our relationship with God feels distant and we don't have that time together anymore. When you read the Bible, we feel like, oh, I've read John 3 verse 16, I know it, what's the point? You know, but when you have God in your life, you'll read John 3 verse 16 20 times and get 20 different feels from it. And now let's look at death. Can you please do the same with death? Put a box around it and write it underneath sin. For the wages of sin is death. What comes to mind when we talk about death or when you hear the word death? Vicky, what comes to your mind when you think about the word death? Pain? Any other person? Tragedy, it is very tragic. Death is tragic. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin are tragic, painful. All right. Death is separation. When a person dies, their soul separates from the body. Their soul is detached from the body, right? When a person dies, their soul is separated from God. Just like sin, when sin is there, we are separated from God. So the wages of sin is death, separation from God. So when you sin, or you live in sin, you're going to be separated from God. Now we're going to look at something else, right? The word but. Can you put but there? For the wages of sin is God, is death, but. Meaning there's hope. But means it just doesn't end there in death. There is hope. We can move on from this. There's something that can be done. Right? There's something that can be done. So the news are not all bad. We're not all going to die. Well, we are sometime, you know, in the future. But I'm talking about the spiritual death. So the word but produces hope, that there's hope in what we're talking about. And here comes the good news. The good news are that the gift, when we do that as well. Now the gift is very different from wages, right? Gift is different from wages. Wages, we said, you work for it and then you get paid. A gift, you don't work for it. Somebody gives it to you, right? Someone gives you a gift. You don't work for it. You don't have to struggle to get a gift. I got a gift today, too, actually. So how would you feel if someone gives you an expensive gift? Let's say a car, a Dodge. Yeah, now, at your age now. I would probably say, hey, why? I mean, a person that you wouldn't even think that they know you just comes and say, here's a car for you. I mean, you'd have doubts, right? I would have doubts. Like, why? Why are you giving me this gift? Hey? What have I done to deserve this? Why this gift? Some people think that, you know, you don't earn it. You don't go to work. Some people think by doing good things, by coming to church every Sunday, doing religious acts, basically, can get you to heaven. God will give you a gift for that. God is not about that. God won't give you a gift because you come to church every Sunday, no. But the gift of God, we're going to find out what is the gift of God just now. And of God is next to sin because God is perfect. He has never sinned in his life, ever. He has never sinned, ever. If you think I'm lying, you can ask him yourself, and he'll tell you that he's never sinned, ever in his life. God wants to give you his gift. God has a gift for you. He wants to give it to you. Why do you think he wants to give you a gift? Why do you think God wants to give you a gift? Anyone? He loves us, right? Would you give someone you don't love a gift? But God wants to give us a gift because he loves us. He loves us so much that he has this gift for us. We've done nothing to deserve it, but he wants to give it to us. Right, and that gift is eternal life. It's available for you to take. The gift of God is eternal life. What is eternal life? What is eternal life? Living forever, and forever is a very long time, right? Living forever. Death, eternal life. Wages of sin is death. Meaning for you to get to death, you work very hard. But God says, hey, my yoke is easy. Come, I have a gift for you, and it's eternal life. We're going to learn on how to get to that eternal life just now. Eternal life is a relationship with God in a blissful harmony forever, for eternity. But remember, sin is death, meaning you're going to die forever It's separation from God forever. But eternal life is you living in blissful harmony with God forever. Hell is real and heaven is real. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. Okay. Now, for us to get to eternal life, for us to get to that eternal life, we need Jesus Christ. Can you please put a block around Christ and put that cross there? So remember I said but is hope? So that hope is Jesus Christ. The hope that we have is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way to get to eternal life. And he paid a price for it. When someone gives you a gift, somebody gave me a gift, it means they went to the store and bought it. Right? They paid for it. Jesus Christ paid for the gift of eternal life with his own life. So he had to die for you to get a gift. How awesome is that? Who can ever do that for you? No one. No one can do that for you. No one. I'm not willing to die for you, Vicky. For you to get eternal life. No, I want eternal life myself. You know, and there's no one else who can promise you this gift. There's no one else who can give you eternal life except for God himself. No one else has the power for you to get eternal life. It's only God. So the way to get to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Remember, we're talking about telling God's story, right? Last week we learned what God's story was, right? What is God's story? Today we're learning on how to tell others about God. So as I'm telling you this, is to equip you to go and tell others about God. Imagine if your parents get a fine for speeding and they end up going to court. The same police officer who arrested your parent is there. And your parent, the judge finds your parent guilty. And they get a fine. They get fined for it. They don't go to jail, but they get fined for it. How would you feel, or what would happen if that police, the very same police officer who arrested your parent, paid your parent's fine? Like, that's amazing. Doesn't happen, right? Something unexpected. It's something unexpected. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. It's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. We sinned, not him. But at the end of the day, he paid the price for our sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. But he paid the price for our sin. You must accept the gift. It's here. It's for you now. If someone gives you a gift, if I give Micah a gift, if I give Micah something, he needs to accept it. If it doesn't accept it, obviously I'm going to take it back, right? He needs to accept the gift. So you need to accept the gift that Christ is giving you today. You need to accept it. If you don't accept it, remember, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is no way to God except through Christ. There is no way to God except through Christ. So that arrow, you can write that arrow, which shows that for you to cross over to God, you need Christ. You need that crossover there as a bridge. Now, what can you do? What can you do to cross over? I don't think it's easy. Do you think it's easy to cross over to God? I mean, God is so big. One thing that you can do is to confess. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. And confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for us. He died for me. And he rose again. And then you must surrender to him. Surrender your all, your being, your everything to God. You surrender everything to him. And you don't just end there, but you trust him. You know, when you surrender, when you're giving your all, when you surrender to something or you surrender to someone, you automatically you trust them. You know, when you're in someone's car, you're actually surrendering your lives to that person, right? If Micah gets into a car now and wants to drive, I'll probably say, no, thank you. You go alone. Thank you very much. But if Mark says, let's go, I jump in because I trust that Mark can drive. Not because he's old, but I just trust that Mark can drive, meaning that I'll be safe in Mark's car other than in Micah's car. You'll probably not even go through the gate. We'll bump everything on the way, if the car even moves at all. So when you've surrendered your life to God, you trust him with everything. You even trust him to speak to you. You trust him that, God, I'm going, I don't have money, but I'm going there. That's where I'm going. You trust God with your whole being. You trust God with your first step. You trust God waking up in the morning. Some people say, God, I don't do miracles anymore, but God does. The first miracle that has happened today is that you woke up. We don't wake ourselves up. If you think about it, you're there, you're asleep, you don't know what's happening, right? You want to say something? So, are you ready to cross over? When you're telling a person God's story, you ask them, are you ready to cross over? Can I help you cross over? And what you do is that you pray with the person who confessed their sins to God. You pray with them, and you ask God to guide them, to be with them. That's how you help a person to cross over. You invite them. You tell them that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, not just Lord, but he is Savior. What is he saving us from? Sin, from death. So there's this paper that we're going to give you just now. It's the same thing that we've done. It's that, just to guide you, that when you speak to your friends, when you're leading someone to Christ, you actually have a point of reference on what to do in case you lose the paper that you just draw today. Now, how do we practice this? How do we practice this whole thing? Firstly, you need to remember, you start a conversation, salt. You tell the person next to you. You talk to them, telling them God's story. You talk to them. And I have a challenge for you guys. The challenge that I leave with you today is that this week, at least tell one person. Tell God's story to one person. Just this week. And then continue doing it week after week, and you'll see how easy it's going to become. And when you tell God's story, obviously you're going to tell people about what you know, right? Because now you know God's story. You've learned about it. I know what you're thinking. I can read your mind. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but God is so big and perfect. Who am I to tell his story? I don't feel confident enough. I don't think I have the power to tell God's story. Firstly, you can talk to God and relate to him. When you have a personal relationship with him, he's going to fill you with his word, and you will know what to say to other people. You will know what to say to other people. Yes, you are not perfect, but God can use you because he is perfect. He makes you perfect. He is our perfection. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But God can use me to tell his story. God, you know, something just comes to me now, that God uses the imperfections of this world to show people who he is. God uses the imperfections of this world to show people who he is. That's why he heals the sick. when you are sick and you get prayed for, that's why he heals you. Sickness is imperfection. It's imperfection. So that's what God uses. So if you feel inadequate, if you feel that you are imperfect, you are the right candidate to tell God's story, and God is going to use you. Telling God's story can be very intimidating. Remember David and Goliath? I believe David was intimidated. I believe David was intimidated. But deep down, you are brave. Because God makes you brave. Do you think it was easy for David to just say, I can take down this guy. I can take down Goliath. No. You know what David did? He spoke to God before he challenged Goliath. He didn't just go there. So God wants us to be brave. God wants us to be brave. And he wants you, remember we said, you need to surrender to him and trust him? This is where you need to trust him. By going out there and saying, I don't think I'm brave, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you start talking. And you'll see, you're going to build up, power is going to build up inside of you. And you're going to continue telling people about God's story. Because God is the only one who can make you brave. These scriptures we're not going to read, you're just going to write them down. John 4, verse 28 to 30 and 39-42. The Bible teaches us that believers want to tell people about God. You can't tell people about God if you're not excited yourself about God. You need to be excited. Something needs to be ignited in you to talk about God. So someone has should have told you about God before. And you must have your own experiences with God that you can actually share with other people. You share what God has done in your life. That's why you need to have a personal relationship with him. Share with your friends or strangers, but you need to have a consistent life, a Christ-centered life. You can't give what you don't have. You cannot give what you don't have. If you don't have God in your heart, you can't share God. It's like a crab telling its children to walk straight while he's walking sideways. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Thanks, Simone. We know that a crab walks sideways, right? And it can't expect its kids to walk straight. No. So your life must be centered around Christ and it must be consistent. We lead by example, right? Just talking about Jesus with your lips and denying him with your actions will kill your testimony. It will kill your character. People are more likely to listen to people who tell them the truth, who tell them from deep within, than people who just talk and not live it. Imagine someone telling you how to make money, but they poor. Right? A person who doesn't even have 2 rand in their pocket is telling you how to make money and be successful. You're not going to listen to that guy. You're going to ask yourself, why doesn't he have the money that he's talking about? If he knows how to make money, then what's wrong with him? If you are polite to a cashier at Woolworths and not rude, that cashier is more likely to listen to you or to want to know more about you. That cashier at Woolworths, some people are rude. You know how people can be rude to cashiers? Because I have it all. I'm here to buy. The customer is always right. And then I'm rude. If the queues are long, I'm complaining. There's one guy who once said, we were in a very long queue at Pick and Pay. He just went there to buy milk. And it was end of the month. And he was complaining and screaming everywhere and said, my milk will even go sour standing in this line, standing in this queue. I've been standing here for hours, you know. But if you have a positive attitude, and you just go there and be nice after that person has had a long day, the next time you go to that store, that person is more likely to want to ask you a question. Being pleasant will open doors. Being pleasant to people will give you an opportunity to talk to them. It will open that door, an opportunity for you to talk to people and tell them about God. But if you're rude, people are not going to listen to you. Evangelism is often just being a friend. People need friends. People need someone to be there for them. I'm not saying be a friend to your cliques, right? We all have cliques. We all have people that, you know, this is my best friend. But befriend that person that nobody wants to be friends with. Why? Because people fail tests. People have stuff. They have things. They have things that they go through. People fail tests. They have fighting parents, clashing relationships. People need love and compassion. That's why we're here. People need love and compassion. And they need a person who can listen to them, a good listener. They need just that person there. They need you to be there for them. Most of the time, we want to associate with people that are well-known, you know, people who are there, who are out there. But the people who need that, who need us the most, it's not Pastor Mark, it's not me, it's the person who doesn't know Christ. It's the person who is out there, who's an outcast. That's a person I need to befriend. Imagine what would happen if President Obama just decides, he sees you in a crowd and say, how are you? Can you be my friend? What's that going to do to you, to your self-esteem? A lot. It's going to boost it sky high. You're going to go around telling people, I know President Obama, he's my buddy. I have him on Facebook and Instagram and everything, you know? So imagine what change or impact you can have in someone's life just for you becoming close to them and saying, I'm your friend. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, it teaches us about love. People want to be loved. Love is not arrogant and preachy. Love is not rude and demanding. Love is compassionate and caring. Love is patient and kind. This is not figuratively. It's actually, you do it now. It's very present in our lives. It's not a figure of speech. What's written there, that's exactly what God says love is. Some people say, I don't know the meaning of love. The Bible has the meaning of love. When you see a need and you respond to it, that's love. When you see a person who is in need of Christ and you respond to that need, you tell them about Christ. Whether they accept Christ or reject him, you have done your job. You have done your job. So let's not be shy. Let's go out there and show people love. Because that's how Christ, when Christ was on earth walking with his disciples, that's all he did. He showed people compassion. He showed people love. And he was patient with people and kind. He didn't rush people. I want you to do it now. No, he was kind. He was patient. If you read the Bible, you can see how cool Jesus was. Here comes a storm. He's sleeping. He can feel the boat is rocking, and maybe there was lots of water in the boat, and people are screaming, going up and down, and he was just there, and they woke him up, and he said, peace, be still. Everything quieted down. And he said, you know what he said to them? Oh, ye of little faith. Meaning that you have Christ in the boat. Why are you panicking? So Christ was the coolest person. He needs us to be cool as well. He wants us to be cool as well and be patient, compassionate, caring, and loving, and kind. One thing that you need to do, you need to pray. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you on how to pray. Pray for opportunities to tell people about Jesus Christ. Pray that the Holy Spirit gives you opportunity to tell people about Christ. Pray for people to see your example, your life. Action speaks louder than words. Pray for people to see your example on how you live your life. Pray for friends and family who need Jesus Christ. Pray for people you don't know. meaning that you pray for the opportunity to meet those people so that you can tell them about Christ. Pray for wisdom to share what's most important. You pray for wisdom, and wisdom only comes from God. No one here has wisdom without God. Wisdom is clever than intelligence, and only God can give it. So you pray for wisdom so that you can share with people what's most important. Not what you think is important, but what's most important to God. Can we close our eyes and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God who's always there for us. You are a God who's constant. You are here, Jehovah, in every way, and you'll always be there. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who keeps his promises all the time. I pray, Lord, that each one of us here, we don't forget the challenge that, Lord, we need to speak to at least one person this week and tell them your story and tell them about you. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you give us the strength. I pray, Lord, that you give us the energy. I pray, Lord, that you give us the wisdom on how to tell people about you. And, Lord, help us to practice telling people about you. Help us, Lord, as we go out there, to start with our friends and even go to strangers and tell them about you. Because you are amazing, God. You want everybody to go to heaven. You created us for heaven. And help us, Lord, to win souls and more souls. I thank you, Lord, for each young person who's in here, that, Lord, you're going to use them to tell your story, that, Lord, you find them adequate to tell your story, that, Lord, you know that, Lord, they have so much energy and they can spread your word throughout the world. Use us, Lord, as we hear. We ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Next week, the 22nd of June, we release God. Yeah, God encounters. Okay, and I know that's going to be awesome. That's going to be great. So be here next week. Prepare for that. Prepare to see God work in amazing ways. So thank you very much.